Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for Holy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take, according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall not let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord. Please read with me the Catechetical Review on page 9. The sacrament of the altar. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as we sing the gospel, as we hear the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall not never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, you give yourself to us, first on the cross, and then here in your very body and blood for us as a gift to us unworthy servants. Strengthen us through this gift, that we may cling to your word and promises all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I can still remember it as clearly as if it happened today. We were done with chores. We were back in the house. The family was sitting around the table. I was smelling whatever it was Mom was cooking, and it smelled delicious. And I asked her, "What's for supper?" And she said, "Steak and baked potatoes." And here was my ungrateful response: "Steak again?" Mom was cleaning out the freezer, and all that was left was steak. What I wanted was hamburger. I didn't realize how great a meal it was. I didn't realize that as we were consuming the leftover steak out of the freezer, that we were eating the greatest meal ever, the meal of kings, every night. I didn't realize the value of the gift. An ungrateful child, not realizing the value of what the meal was. Many times when we do something again and again, no matter how good it is or how beneficial it is, we lose track of what it really is and what it offers to us. The great can seem so ordinary to us. The tremendous can seem like it really isn't doing anything at all. And it isn't long, and we just find ourselves seemingly going through the motions. How many of you, as we have been praying the Lord's Prayer, find yourself thinking about something else? How many times have we gathered here at this precious place that our Lord invites us to for his very body and blood, for our strength and our forgiveness, and we walk through the steps so mundanely, because we've done it so many times. On this night, Jesus gathered again with his disciples to celebrate the Passover feast. The Passover was one of the great events in Israel's history. With a strong hand and a mighty arm, God showed his power to Pharaoh. He showed him, without a doubt, that there is one God, the God of Israel. The firstborn of every man and every animal would die this night unless protected by the blood of the Lamb and the body of the Lamb placed on the door. When the angel of death came, it passed over all of those who trusted in God's promises. Freedom from death was given that night, and as a result of that, freedom from slavery would be given to them at dawn. God kept his promise to his people using a lamb and his blood. Tonight, as happened every other night of Jesus' life and the disciples' life, they gathered to remember this tremendous event of freedom and safety. They gathered together to celebrate the Passover. They were free because of the promises that God made through a lamb and his blood. Now, for the disciples, as they gathered with Jesus, they expected that this Passover celebration would be like all the rest. They would gather together on the table. They would eat bitter herbs. They would drink wine. They would eat the bread of haste. And that would be it. They knew the ceremony. They had done it every year on this night their whole lives. They knew what to expect. And then they heard from Jesus. One of you who dips your hand in the bowl with me will betray me. And now this night is not like any other night. And now something is going on because they all in their minds are wondering and asking, Jesus, is it I, Lord? 13 people in the room, and they will all betray Jesus. They've been together for years. They've become a family. And tonight the family will betray Jesus. Sorrow filled the room. One by one they asked him, is it I, Lord? And we know the answer. It was Judas who would betray him, but the rest of the disciples would deny him, flee from him, hide from him, and leave him to die. There's an ongoing discussion about this night and about what happened there. And the discussion is this. Did Jesus celebrate the Passover with Judas, knowing that Judas was going to betray him? Some say no, because Jesus, of course, knew of that sin. Jesus knew about Judas and about his sin of betrayal, and he wouldn't have shared the meal with a sinner, an open and unrepentant sinner like him. Remember, Jesus also knew about Peter and that the rest of the disciples would deny him and run in fear as well. This understanding that Jesus wouldn't have celebrated with the Passover with Judas is a very incorrect and dangerous assumption about the Lord's Supper, because it places the value of the Lord's Supper on whether or not we sin or whether we're somehow worthy to receive the supper. It's true that Judas was not worthy to receive this meal with Jesus because of his sin. It's true that Peter wasn't worthy to receive this meal because of his sin. It's true the disciples weren't worthy. It's true that you and I aren't worthy as well. Jesus doesn't invite us to this table because we're fighting the war with sin and we're winning. Jesus doesn't invite us to this table because we're somehow exhibiting some lofty holiness that sets us above everyone else. He invites us because we're failures. He invites us because we're sinners, dying because of our sin. We are dying sinners in desperate need of the forgiveness that he alone can give to us. Jesus invites us because he loves us. He invites us because his blood and his body are the only cure for the sin and the death that surely awaits every sinner. So often our reaction when we receive or when we think about the gifts that Jesus has for us, our reaction is to pull away from Jesus. When life is good and the struggles are few, we somehow get this idea in our head, I've got this. I don't need Jesus. I don't need to go to church. I don't need his word. I don't need the Lord's Supper. I'm doing fine on my own. When life is good, we're convinced we need less Jesus, not more. When we struggle with sin or we're confronted with our sin, our response is often like Adam and Eve's. We hide from God. We pull away from Jesus. We pull away from the gifts and the promises in his word and worship because we feel they are condemning us and our conscience is condemning us. We pull away from the Lord's Supper because we're too ashamed of what we're tempted by. We pull away from the gifts of God because our sin is right there before our eyes. And so is our failure. And we're so ashamed to admit to God again, here I am. I haven't done what you've asked. I've done what you've said not to do. Dear saints, being a sinner does not disqualify you from the gifts of God. This place, hearing his word, and especially gathering here, receiving the very body and blood of Jesus, is exactly where you need to be. Receiving more Jesus, not less. Receiving more forgiveness, not isolating in desperate despair. As Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, he did warn Judas against betraying him. He does the same thing for us today. God warns us in his word not to give in to the evil desires. He preaches that to us, and that is the work of the law in our lives, to warn us, to help us see where the danger lies, to be that curb for us. But just as the law does its condemning work, showing us our sin, the gospel is right there, inviting us. More Jesus. Dear sinner, you need more Jesus. You need more time in his word. You need more body and blood. You need more forgiveness. You need more assurance that the promises that God has made to you in your baptism are true. And he will keep them. More Jesus, not less. More forgiveness, more assurance, more hope, more peace with God, not less. None of us are worthy to approach this rail and receive Christ in our hands and on our lips. And yet, just like Christ did with his disciples at the Passover, Jesus invites us to come and to receive often, as many times as it's offered. And each time, he freely and richly gives us the forgiveness through his body and through his blood, through the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. We receive Jesus in this supper, and he gives us the cross and the tomb. He gives us his victory over sin, and he takes away our failures. He takes away our sins. He gives us the peace that he has with God, and he takes our shame and our guilt, and he buries it in the tomb, never to be brought out again. On this night, as Jesus gathers with his failed, foolish disciples, he changed the Passover celebration completely. Up until this night, God's people have looked to the future for a promise that God would send a Savior and a Messiah into the world. And tonight, as Jesus gathered with his disciples, he made it very apparent to them and to us that he is the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. That God comes through his Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says to us, take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. Again tonight, as has happened so many times in your life, you are invited by our Savior to come here to this holy place and to be served by Jesus. He is the master of the feast. He is the meal, the bread, and the wine given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. It looks so ordinary. How many times have you heard these words and received this gift? You've heard all the words before, but this meal, no matter how many times have you received it, is still needed and still offered for you out of love from your Savior. It's still the best meal in heaven or on earth. Here you receive more Jesus, not less. In, with, and under the bread and wine is Christ, your promised Messiah. Here at the table, in, with, and under the blood is the precious Lamb that gives life and forgiveness to you. Take and eat, dear saints. Here is your death-defying, risen-from-the-dead Jesus for you. Take and drink, dear saints. This is your Savior, your Lord, your peace, your hope, and your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.